these truths, that we might learn, Lord, to be of good cheer, to know the reasons why we ought to always be of good cheer as those who have been redeemed, those who have been born again, those who have such hope for the future. Help us, Lord, to live our lives, to learn what you have to say about this today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Did you start the recording? Okay, good. All right. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles then to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We are still studying matters of Christian character. And our topic today is quite timely indeed, as it falls in a place at a very trying time on the world scene today. Today we're going to look at the six Bible admonitions telling us to be of good cheer. Six times in the Bible we're told to be of good cheer. And it should be. That should be a characteristic of every saved man, every saved woman. It should be the daily practice of our lives. I mean, I understand we've all got different personalities. We've got different temperaments. We've got all different upbringings. And we view the world through different sets of eyes. But the Bible, hey, one size fits all. Amen? And when it comes to the Bible, it's one size fits all. And the Word of God says that we are to be of good cheer. So let's look at these six reasons to do so. First of all, in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 1, Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city," the speaking of Jesus Christ, "and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." How about that? Be of good cheer. Why? Thy sins be forgiven thee. What an amazing thing. My sins, I could not count them. My sins, I don't want to even name them. My sins that were going to take me straight to a devil's hell, my sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord. Well, how is that? How can I say that? Well, it's through my Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you something. Whatever the stock market numbers are today, are your sins forgiven? Whatever your temperature was when you took it this morning, are your sins forgiven? Whatever the numbers are and the counts are on those problems of the day, whatever they are your sins forgiven? I know that this nation rose against that nation, and over here there's a war, over there you got a famine, and back over there there's a pestilence, and some of the shelves were empty of some of your favorite products. But I want to ask you this afternoon, are your sins forgiven? You know, one of these days, and it could be sooner than later, but one of these days I will breathe my last breath. And there will be a door opened in heaven if my sins were forgiven, or there will be a place of torment waiting in hell if my sins were not forgiven. I will not enter heaven's gates because I never lost my job. I'm not going to enter heaven's gates because I was healthy. I'm not going to enter heaven's gates because everything in my life went just the way I wanted it to. I will enter heaven's gate because, hallelujah, my sins have been forgiven. Can you not today, brother, can you not today, sister, find some good cheer in the knowledge that Jesus Christ, by his blood and through his grace, has taken away your sins? You know, the religious crowd, they were there. Look here in verse number 3. Verse number 3, Matthew 9, 3. "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth." Okay, that it would be very disrespectful for a man a man who could not take away sins, to claim that he had indeed taken away someone's sins. Verse 4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Listen, if a group of religious people heard me say to you, I declare your sins forgiven, and in return they said, this guy, he's completely out of line saying that. You know, this his arrogance, his lack of understanding. It's so wrong for him to say that he has forgiven someone's sins. But Jesus said, you know what? When you thought that about me, that was evil in your heart. When you thought that I did not have the power, the authority, the right, and that it was inappropriate for me to forgive this man's sin, you were wrong. That was evil in your heart. Look at verse 5. He says, for whether is easier, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose, and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now if Jesus had said to this man, rise, take up thy bed and walk, and the man could not get up, you would say, there you go, Jesus is a fraud. But that man did rise. He did take up his bed and walk. Jesus said, I could say it this way, your sins are forgiven. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Or I could just say, rise, take up your bed and walk. Or I could just say, your sins are forgiven. See, the proof that what Jesus said was done, the proof that what Jesus said came to pass, is that this man arose, he took up his bed, and he walked. So, there's no doubt that Jesus Christ can forgive sins. There's no doubt that Jesus Christ does forgive sins. And I'm telling you, on the authority of what is written in the pages of God's holy word, the Bible, my sins are forgiven. And I'm mighty happy about that. And if your sins are forgiven, is not that reason to be of good cheer? Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. My sins are forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to put a smile on your face, put a little cheer in your heart. All right, turn to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. You say, well, preacher, there's some bad things going on right now. Well, you could say that every day, couldn't you? Preacher, there's some difficult circumstances in my life right now. Well, thank God you can't say that every day. But maybe today is the day when things are really going kind of bad, in a bad way for you. So look here, verse 22, Matthew 14 and verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. He just kind of pushed them on board, I guess. And to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Okay, now Jesus did not say, get in the boat because there's a storm out there. Jesus didn't say, get in the boat, I want you to sail right into those big crashing waves and that howling wind. Go on. No, Jesus said, I want you to get in the boat and go to the other side and I will meet up with you. And so they did. They didn't know that they were sailing into trouble. They didn't know that their course was charted to run right into a storm. But so it was. And the Bible says here in verse 25, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Now, of course, you read on, and Peter says, "Let me come out there on the water like you are," and he does. But I want to show you something here. He walks out on the water to go to Jesus. Look at verse 30. "But when he," Peter, "when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." Now here's why I read that. There's a storm, and they're afraid, and Jesus shows up, and there's still a storm. And the wind is roaring, and they're afraid. And Jesus shows up, and the wind is still roaring. And the sea is tossing that little ship up and down, back and forth, to and fro. And Jesus shows up, and the wind and the sea is still boisterous, it says. Still very loud, roaring, very violent. See, what I want you to see here, the Bible doesn't say, be of good cheer, whoosh, no wind. No. Be of good cheer, no more waves. Didn't do that. Be of good cheer, no storm. The Bible says, Jesus said, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. I am here. Storms are here, so am I. Trouble is here, so am I. Come on now. Come on. If we can be of good cheer when the stock market is up, then the source of our cheer is just man's economics, right? That's not a sufficient ground for cheer. I'm praying, really, I am. I'm praying for those of you who have jobs that you will not lose your jobs. But if your good cheer is a result of you having a job, that could sure come and go, couldn't it? Right now, my health, it's where it ought to be for someone my age. I can't complain. And right now, I trust that most of you, your health is hopefully where it should be, where you want it to be for someone your age. And many of you, though, maybe you are sick with different ailments, different problems in your body. I understand that. But listen, if my good cheer is tied to how I feel at the moment, that's not a real substantial source of good cheer. Okay? Jesus, he did not stop the wind and say, now cheer up. Now you can be full of cheer. He didn't calm the sea and then say, now cheer up. He didn't make all the trouble go away and say, now it's time to be happy. In the very middle of that boisterous storm, Jesus said, I'm here. Be of good cheer. Jesus will one day take us to a place where all the storms are over. Hallelujah. But in the meantime, we can be of good cheer because he is present with us in every storm of life. Amen. Thanks be to God for that. What sank Peter was not the storm, but that he was looking at the storm. What sank Peter was not the wind or the waves. It was his occupation with those winds and waves. When his eyes were on Jesus, man, he's walking on the water. In other words, he could do things. Listen to this. He could do things with his eyes on Jesus that he never could have done without that faith and that trust and that confidence in the Lord. That's something to think about there. All right, next one, John chapter 16. Gospel of John chapter 16. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. Jesus is present in the storms of life. And John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Well, praise God for that. Here's the first fact, and I don't like the first fact, but the first fact is necessary so I don't lose my proper understanding. Jesus said, in the world, those of you who are in me shall have tribulation. Don't like that. But notice, he didn't say, you're going to go through the great tribulation. He's not talking about that. That's something different. Read your Bible, okay? Come on, understand a little something about Scripture. But he said, everybody listening to my voice right now, everybody listening to the Word of God right now, if you are unsaved, you will have tribulation in this world. If you are saved, you will have tribulation in this world. See, so what does that tell you? Being in Christ, that does not exempt us from living in the world. And being in Christ and living in the world does not exempt us from tribulation. Now, having said that, Jesus didn't say, so you go out now and overcome the world. He didn't say that. That's why didn't he? Because that's too much to ask. That's impossible. He didn't say, now go out there and you be an overcomer, the overcomer that stamps that world down and puts it under your feet. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So it's about my heart. It's about your heart. It's about my thought process, about your thought process. Now, I am right now at this moment, and it's been this way since September 8, 1991, I am in the world and I am in Christ at the same time. I am living in the world and I reside in, I've been placed in Jesus Christ at the same time. And at the same time, I have an old man, look at him, but I have a new man. You can't see it, but I do. I have a life in the world, and I have a life in Christ. That's going on all at the same time. And if I get myself occupied with the world, that the world that honestly, I cannot overcome, that's going to end up leading me to despair. Just pick any minister, and this is just one little example. Okay, some of you haven't been saved for a long time. Some of you haven't lived a long time. Some of you have lived a long time, but you've not learned to view things biblically as a Christian. So right now, people who are the world, they're deciding what to do about the economic condition. The condition of the government and the kingdoms of the world that are going to affect you and me, every one of us. So, and there's nothing I can do about that. There's people right now, they're making decisions medically that will affect tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people. Life and death decisions, and plotting this and planning that and scheming this. And I don't necessarily mean that in a negative way. They're just having to make some huge decisions. That's what I'm saying. I can't do anything about that. I'd be crushed by it, in fact. Well, there's China. There's Iran. There's the World Health Organization. There's the Republicans, the Democrats. There's the European Union. And all I can do is put all that on top of me and let it smash me into the ground. I can't overcome any of that stuff. Or I can say, wait a minute, I am in Christ. I'm in Christ. My daily bread comes from Him. My safety comes from Him. My clothing and my shelter comes from Him. My good cheer does not come with Him giving me the responsibility of overcoming the world. My good cheer comes from the knowledge and the comfort and the assurance that He's already overcome the world. And I just abide in Him and rest in Him and let Him take care of all of that stuff. Stuff I couldn't take care of anyway, that's for sure. Praise the Lord. Some of you right now, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited when I say this. I'm not. I'm not trying to be critical here. Some of you right now, you will have a Bible sitting on a table closed. Right? And the Fox News or the CNN on the internet wide open all day long. And day after day, you take in the world. And it just drives you, and it drives you, and it drives you, and it drives you, and it drives you further into hopeless despair. Thank God you've taken a few minutes to let somebody open the Bible and say, every one of those things that is overcoming you has been overcome by Jesus Christ. Restore in your heart, restore in your mind a confidence in the power of your Savior, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the Almighty God, the everlasting Father. Restore in your heart a confidence that He will keep every promise that He has ever made to you and to me. That's a lot better than a frustration with a government that seemingly never keeps any promises that they make. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Look at Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. Here's a man who's a prisoner. Here's a man who is in bonds and in chains. And this man will, as this thing plays out, he is going to end up being executed for his faith in Jesus Christ and for his refusal to deny the Lord or to participate in the religions of the world. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 23, starting in verse number 9, "And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle." All right, so they're arresting him, locking him away. Verse 11, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." The Lord visits his preacher in prison. And he doesn't say, be of good cheer, Paul, because I'm going to let you out the way I let Peter out. He doesn't say, be of good cheer because I'm going to send an earthquake and rattle those walls, and that jailer, he's going to come and get saved, and by tomorrow morning you're going to be eating breakfast in his living room and starting a church in Philippi. No. He says, be of good cheer. You are going to get to witness to a new group of people that have never been witnessed to before. Be of good cheer. You get the opportunity to tell someone else of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, brother, sister, come on now. Brother, sister, come on. Honestly, here's what I worry about. And I mean it. I worry about, especially in those coronavirus days when we were absent from the company of other believers, but even in these days when we're not two, three, four times a week being urged and pressed onward to live for the Lord, in these days when our outreach ministries have been negatively affected, not only ours, but every church, and not only due to the difficulties that we've had in things like getting gospel tracts here now, but also because people are afraid to get too close to strangers for fear of the COVID virus or the monkeypox. What I fear is that without that constant urging on, we will lose the good cheer that fills our singing and fills our conversation and fills our hearts and fills our lives and fills our living rooms because of that great joy that comes when we're busy telling other people about Jesus Christ. There's a joy there, and we're missing it. Now, they can exclude us. They can exclude us through government decrees, and they have. They can tell us not to congregate for such and such a time, like they did. They can exclude us from going in groups to speak to the lost about the Lord Jesus Christ. But even in a hospital, you could still bear witness. In a jail cell, you could still bear witness. You could tell someone about Jesus. In a quarantine situation, what do you have? Figure out what you can do. You got a telephone. You got an email system. You got social media for people who are not so social. And I'm telling you, friends, wouldn't it be great if we got up every morning happy, got up every morning cheerful, got up every morning excited because today, the Lord standing by my side is going to give me an opportunity to bear witness to the death, burial, and resurrection of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I get to give my testimony. Praise the Lord. You know, during the days of the very strict part of those COVID measures, you still had to go out and do your shopping and service your car, renew your documents. And wherever you went, you would see people with different levels of fear, right, about possibly catching the virus. So they masked up, they kept their distance, they used hand sanitizer, and in some cases, you could sit and listen to people talking, giving their testimony. How are you? Oh, I'm well. I'm doing okay. How are you? Well, I got a little bit of the sniffles, but I don't think it's the virus, though. And every person who would come in, wherever you were, they told other people, I just don't know what's happening in my life. But they were only talking about physical matters, of course. That's all they were concerned with. And if they weren't talking about the virus, they'd be talking about the government and politics and what they thought the government was doing wrong. Isn't it nice to be able to be in a situation like that and to speak to the person who's sitting 2 meters away with a mask on and say, well, this is what Jesus is doing in my life. This is what Jesus is doing in the life of the people of our church. This is what Jesus is doing for us as a congregation. This is our hope in the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing to have in a world where seemingly no one has a cheerful testimony, to be of good cheer, knowing we can testify on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at Acts 27. Acts 27. What's this one about? Here's what's happening here. Paul, he's being transported in chains on a prison ship. He's being taken to Rome, and they sail into what they're calling here a Euroclydon, a cyclone, a hurricane, some kind of a Mediterranean giant storm. And the ship is going to sink. And the people on the ship, of course, they're fearful. They're in despair. The food is gone. The hope is gone. They've run aground. The incoming tides and the waves are tearing that ship to pieces. And look what the Bible says in verse 21. Acts 27, verse number 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, fear not, Paul. You know what this saved man announced to a bunch of lost men who were losing their minds? You know what this saved man said to a bunch of people whose hope was in fair weather, and it's gone? Smooth seas, and they're gone. A sturdy ship, and it's gone. Provisions and supplies, and they're gone. The well-charted course that told them we're going to be here this day, here this day, here this day, and we'll arrive on that day. And now all of that is just swept away. You know what this man said? I am secure. I am secure. I cannot die. I will not die until my race is run, until the work that God has given me to do is finished. And I know that he will keep me and preserve me until it's my time to step into his presence. Amen. Brother, sister, let me ask you something. Honestly, from my heart to yours, you respond from your heart to the Lord, honestly. Okay, let me ask you honestly, do you believe that if you died, you would go to heaven and be with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? And do you believe that if you died and went to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be the greatest day of your life, of your existence? Amen. I don't know that we really believe that, though. Do you believe that if you have work to do in this life, in this world, for the Savior, that he will protect you and keep you and preserve you so that you can do that work? And you believe that if that work is finished, if that work is done, then there's really not much point in sticking around. And it's not likely that God will keep you around. Let me give you an example. Look at the life of Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff, man, his pulpit was in the People's Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For those of you who don't know who he was a man who preached with great power, with such great results for many, many years. Now, I personally never got to hear him preach in person because he went home to be with the Lord in 1982, and I got saved in 1991. But his church had a 1,200-seat auditorium, and that thing was filled 30 minutes before every service. And if you didn't come early, you weren't going to get in there. But here was a man, he had a powerful life, powerful ministry, he had these great Christian homes to help people, great ministry. He had the power of his radio program and the fruits of his labors and the influence that he had upon preachers all over America. And then suddenly, November 2nd, 1982, suddenly he used to fly this plane to get from place to place. He had his own private little plane. But then that day he took off for one last flight. Okay, and instead of landing back at Corpus Christi, Texas, his soul landed in heaven. Oh, people wept that night. People cried that night because their hero was dead. Why, God? Why? Well, why stay when your work is done? But they say, but he could have done so much more. No, his work was done. Obviously, you say, well, he could have done so much if God would have just given him two more decades. You don't know that. It might have gone downhill. Something bad might have happened. wrecked the ministry, wrecked people's lives or something. God knows. We don't know, but we can be sure that God took him home. He was done. Okay? What you know about that man is that he was safe and secure every day of his life until his life was finished. And then he stepped out of the body right into the presence of the Lord. Now, I hope you don't get a virus. I hope you don't get in an automobile accident. I hope nothing tragic happens to you. But I hope that if this is my last day on earth, you will keep in mind that my work is done. And I'm with Jesus. And I hope that if this were to be your last day on earth, that all of us would, as we weep because we miss you, and as we sorrow because we love you, I hope we would all say, well, job done. Job well done. And think of where she is now. Think of where he is now. Praise the Lord. The final call in the Bible to be of good cheer is right here in the same passage in verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Would you do something right now with me? I want you to do something. I want you to take your Bible right now. Pick up your Bible. I want you to, everybody, boys, girls, men, women, ladies, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, everybody, pick up your Bible right now. I want you to hold that Bible right there, right here next to your heart. And I want you to, listen, right now, that Bible held right to your heart, I want you to say what Paul said right here at the end of verse 25. Listen, what did he say? I believe God. Say it. I believe God. I believe God. Everybody together. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That it shall be even as it was told me. Right now, I want you to look. Turn to the person next to you. And we're going to say it again. Say it one more time. One to another now. I want you to testify. That I want you to say it like you believe it. Like you mean it. Like you know it to be the truth. Say it. Turn to the person next to you now. I believe God that it shall be as it was told me. The promises, the prophecies, the teaching, the truths for my daily life, the truth for my eternity. I believe God, and it's going to go just the way God said it's going to go. Come on, brother. Are you saved? Be of good cheer. Come on, sister. Are you saved? Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus is present in the storms of life. Jesus has overcome the world. We have the privilege of testifying for Jesus. We are secure in the Savior, and God's word is true. Be of good cheer. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for showing us that we have every reason in this wicked world to be of good cheer, knowing that we're not just in this world. We are in Jesus Christ, and he's blessed us in so many ways, and we have so many promises that we can count upon. Lord, I pray that every person here will go through their daily lives being of good cheer, remembering all these reasons to do so. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.